Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Forex Fridays. And today we're joined by Vishnu Varathan, and he's the head of economics and strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hope you've been keeping well and safe.
Yes, I have to say, things are chugging along well, and I hope everything's well in your end too.
It is. Well, it's Friday, and that's always a bit of a bonus. Vishnu, let's talk about the Australian dollar, because we've seen the Australian dollar track some losses this week amid growing expectations of further monetary policy easing in Australia. What's happening with the Aussie dollar now? How low can it go?
I mean, that's one of those questions where, you know, the moment I state a level, the Aussie dollar is going to taunt me by going below that. I'll just say this, I'll just say it has moved pretty dramatically this week from 73 cents. It's now testing against 70 cents, looking like it could stabilize there. And the psyche behind that really is, over the last, much earlier, a few weeks ago, the thought process was you'd be buying the Aussie dollar and selling the Kiwi, the New Zealand dollar, because the sense then was that the RBA was probably going to be on hold, whereas the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, the RBNZ, was probably going to either allude to negative rates or do more easing. This time around, though, and a decisive trigger early this week was the RBA deputy governor saying, or laying out quite explicitly, the options that the RBA has for further easing. And I think two things caught the attention of markets. One was, you know, alluding to a lower interest rate structure. So a lot of them have converged on another 15 basis point cut to 0.10% for an already very low cash rate. Realistically speaking, this 15 basis point shouldn't move the Aussie dollar by as much as it has. So instead, what it probably has reacted to is the prospect of the RBA buying a lot more bonds at various durations. And I think this prospect of printing money, so to speak, as they expand the balance sheet, that is what's undermining the Aussie dollar right now.
You know, as you said, Vishnu, the Aussie's downward trajectory really began when the RBA Deputy Governor Guy DeBell signaled the prospect for further easing. Do you think we could see policy shift at the October 6th meeting? And if so, what are we looking at?
That's a good question. And I think it's a pretty close call. And the initial expectation appears to be that they will probably get the rate cut over and done with, rather than have markets speculating on this endlessly. So the expectation would be for a 15 basis point cut, if not at this meeting, maybe the next, but certainly within this year, and getting rate down to 0.10%. For me, though, the real thing to look out for is the language behind. They're still in a position where they're resistant to negative rates. So whether that changes or not could be a much more decisive trigger for Aussie to react a lot more. So whether the Aussie dollar reacts a lot more negatively would depend on that. And even if there are no moves made at this meeting, I think markets will be very closely watching how they communicate their thought process, the evolving thought process on negative rates.
So how low do you think the Aussie can go, Vishnu?
You know, we have to bear in mind that the Aussie had, you know, huge stumbles. So given two things here, given the RBA's dovish positioning, as well as what we've seen in recent sessions, a stronger US dollar against greater uncertainty about second round virus risks, so on and so forth, these two can conspire to see the Aussie being knocked back to anywhere between 65 to 68 cents in the short term. We've been not looking at that as an equilibrium level, but as a downside risk, surely we cannot rule that out.
And just moving on from the Australian dollar, Vishnu, I want to talk to you a little bit about the pound, because, you know, we've seen announcements coming out of the UK over the last few days and last week or so about, well, implementing further lockdown measures. We're also seeing Brexit transition news as well. What's your take on where the pound is and where it's going?
I think in the very near term, the risks to the pound will probably be to the downside, you know, and for reasons that you have so clearly stated. One is the ongoing trade negotiations with the EU as part of the bigger Brexit transition. I think there are still some uncertainties left there and some bumps along the way, particularly in the headlines of the negotiation process. So that's one thing. But the other being, as you rightly point out, you know, the partial lockdowns, especially the prospect of it being slightly more severe until they can get tracking and testing in place in real time, so that that transition could take a while. But once, but what I want to emphasize there is this process is a two-way process. Once I think they can get a grip on tracking and testing very real time, which allows them to ease conditions on overall movement restriction, that could cause the reverse, some recovery in the pound to follow. In the interim, what we want to watch is what the Bank of England says on negative rates. We know that this is still on the table, but I think they've been going back and forth on how likely it is and how imminent it is. So that will also be another trigger for the sterling. So the sterling has got a whole slew of triggers, and all of them are biased to the downside in the near term. So we could see, you know, sterling probably testing downwards of 125 perhaps in the next few weeks, before we see some prospect of recovery. And the recovery should come through, especially on the COVID front, if we get testing in place, testing and tracking in place.
And just one more question before I let you go, Vishnu. You know, there's a lot else on the table at the moment as well that we've been watching. COVID-19, the key headline. We've also got US-China tensions. And then not to forget, US elections are just around the corner. What else are you looking out for?
I think the nice thing is you've given a very nice sum up of it. And what I'm looking for is what I don't know to look for, which really is, I think this election's outcome is probably going to be a slightly different from what we are ordinarily used to, because the questions around it is not going to be as one-dimensional as who won. It may also be the process of transition and the whole, you know, the whole suite of uncertainty that comes with it. So for those reasons, and also for reasons of, even if you settle on that, what the communication would be with in terms of external policies, two quick examples are overall U.S. positioning on its trade stance, whether it's still America first, and the other one being how aggressive it is going to be with its infrastructure renewal policy. These two can cause unexpected but far-reaching, you know, turbulence in markets from, you know, via higher U.S. Treasury yields, as well as a lot of volatility in FX markets. So these are worth watching.
Well, Vishnu, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.